Thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God I'm going to heaven. You going to heaven? I want to hear it. Thank God I'm going to heaven.
Thank God I'm going to heaven.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. And because of that, the cause of that is I trust God. Now, if you look up the word trust in the Bible dictionary, in a way, in mine, it had no listings. Zero. It says, go to faith. Now, I understand that cross-reference, but somehow trust means something different to me than faith. Trust is a word that we throw around, we use. We have trustees, we have people who are trustworthy. We go maybe to Bankers Trust to bank. You can trust me, I'm a doctor. We've heard that before, haven't you? Usually in a joke. On our money and God we trust. To trust is to put our confidence in someone. But I think we need to think about our trust in God. And perhaps I was thinking about it more because of Bobby's death and Bob's death recently. Do I and do you trust God enough to tell ourselves every day, not I want to go to heaven, not I have the opportunity to go to heaven, not arrogantly, but I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. So as I was thinking about trust, I had several points I wanted to make about trusting each other and trusting God. Sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're different. And I wanted you to think about some of those, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit as we go along. Don't go too far, Mariah. I'm talking about you. First of all, trust can be total or it can be partial. And if we're talking about God, sometimes people in their trust for God find it difficult because, quote, God just didn't come through for me. God just didn't come through for me. I want to read a short segment in Job. Job is on a pedestal in most of our lives for his patience, and it should be his patience and his endurance, but I want you to hear what he said and what we sometimes feel. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind. Thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death into the house appointed for all living. Howbeit he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me, and when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. Ever feel like that? God just didn't come through for you? Now we know this whole story, right? And Job didn't. And we don't know our whole story either. So sometimes when it feels like God didn't come through for us, we just don't know the whole story. Or we don't realize he's already come through. So total or partial trust, we have a lot of examples of lack of trust. Is some lack of trust wrong? And if I don't have total trust, am I in danger? Because if you, like me and like most people, there are times and days that we trust more than other times and days. There are situations that we go through that we trust more than other situations. But if you look through the Bible, you have the great man Abraham who betrayed his lack of trust in God because he told the people that Sarah, his wife, was actually his sister because he was afraid. He lied. We have Sarah, his wife, who laughed and lied when God told her that she was going to be a mother in her 90s. We have Moses, who talked back to God and said, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and talk to those people?" We have Samuel, who was told when he was told to go anoint a new king in Saul's place, said, "Saul will kill me if I do that." We have Elijah up in the mountain that was depressed and wondered where everybody had gone and thought he was the only one. We have the apostles in a storm. "Master, we perish in a storm." With a man, the lunatic son, that the apostles couldn't heal. Do you have total trust in God? Probably not. But God knows that. God knows of our frailty. God didn't strike Abraham dead. God didn't strike Sarah dead. God didn't strike any of these people dead for their lack of trust at the moment. He understands our frailty. He understands we're going to have time that we trust more and we trust less. The only thing we can do is trust as much as we can and pray for God to give us more. That's it. So trust is partial or total, and we want to move our trust in God toward total, knowing we would probably never make it. And that's okay. That's okay. The second thing is that trust is specific. Now, I can trust Mariah. Told you. I wasn't kidding. I can trust Mariah to watch my coat. I don't know if I can trust Mariah to watch my pie. Because I have some experience with her and pie. Pie has very little experience with her. It doesn't last long enough to have an experience with her. Trust is specific. We trust about certain things. So we have to be careful when we're talking about other people. When you say, "Do you trust Justin?" Well, that depends. "Do you trust Mike?" Well, that depends. It always depends when you're talking about people, whether you trust them or you don't trust them. You have to have a point of reference. What are we talking about? We're talking about pie or coats. What are we talking about? And you have to make up your mind, and you have to be careful that because you trust an individual implicitly, totally, in one area, does not mean you trust them at all in another area. At all. Except for God. Except for God. God is totally trustworthy. Totally trustworthy. And so when I worry, which could be defined as a lack of trust. So when I worry, I forget what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount about the lilies of the field and the fowls of the air. They toil not, they spin not, and they really don't worry because they totally trust in God. Totally trust in God. Our trust in God does not have to be specific to certain things and not other things. It is total, non-specific, generalized. He is trustworthy. Dirk, you come up here for a second. Oh, Kiana, I need you too. Please. I didn't warn any of them, okay? You've all seen this experiment, okay? I want you to stand right here, Derek, looking that way, okay? Like that, okay? I want you to stand here, okay, look behind you. Now when I... when I tell you, I want Derek to just kind of let himself go and you catch him. This
could end horribly if I have to.
Are you trusting?
I trust that she would try. I trust that she would be shorter when we're done.
You can sit down. You got to stay.
Okay.
There are certain assumptions that you make about trust, okay? When you're deciding whether to trust someone or not, you have to decide if they have the ability to perform what you're trusting them to do. Now, Kiana would try. I'm sure she would. And we would try to scrape her up. But Kiana is a powerful lady, but I just don't think she can catch Derek falling over backwards.
Ate too much pie.
Ate too much pie. Where'd Devin go? Hurry up, Devin. Is Devin coming? I need him. I could use Mason. Yeah, I'll use Mason. Come on, Mason.
I can see where this is going.
Okay, you're in the same position, bud. You're a trusting soul today.
Okay.
Now, if I bring Derek here and I stand in the same spot, and I might want to be a little closer. And I say, I tell Derek, just trust and just follow her backwards. I am fairly confident, not totally, fairly confident that Mason can catch Derek. Now, why is that? Well, they're about the same size. I know Mason's a very powerful young guy, and he's going to have the advantage of seeing him coming. There's all kinds of things going on here. I'm pretty sure he can perform the function, okay? Aren't you? I'm a lot more confident when John was here. I'm pretty sure that he can perform the function. But just a second, Derek, just stay right there. Okay? Just fall whenever you want to, okay?
Whenever I want to.
Did you get that car taken care of or anything? And you sold that gun the other day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sold the gun. Yeah. You can fall whenever you want to, okay? What's the problem here? What's the problem here? He's not paying attention. He has an ability to perform. He has no willingness to perform. He and I are carrying on a conversation. You guys can sit down now. Yeah, I've been enough fun of you. Yeah, you don't have to fall.
All right.
I know your relative weights, but I'm not sure about the angles and everything, okay? So I don't want to work.
So there are assumptions that we make when we trust people. We assume that we make an assumption that they, from everything we know, that they are able to perform the function we want them to do. We also assume they're willing to perform the function we want them to do, right? So they have to be able and willing. Well, look at God, would you? Is God able? He's able to do anything that we can think of. Is he on vacation? Is he distracted? Is he unable or unwilling to respond? No. He knows when the sparrow falls. So God is worthy of our trust because he certainly has the ability more than anyone else that we can think of, and he certainly has willingness more than anyone else we can think of. And because of that, I can stand here and say, I'm going to heaven. And you can sit there and say it. Not because of me, but because I trust God and what he's done for me. The fourth thing is that trust is sometimes a matter of ratios, of comparisons. Sometimes it's one fear is less than the other fear. And I'm forced to trust, i.e., I'm the third story of a burning building. I'm hanging out the window on a rope that's going to burn. It's going to burn. And I say, jump! I'll catch you. Well, if it's Kiana, we got a pretty good shot. Okay? If it's Derek, may both of us be splat. Who knows? Okay? But the fact of the matter is, I don't have very many other good choices. The building's on fire. The rope's going to burn. I'm going to die if I stay, and I might die if I jump. Okay? But I'm going to die if I stay. Now, the brutal fact of the matter is we have to choose to trust God because what are the alternatives? What are the alternatives? What are our choices for eternity? You know, heaven is described as a beautiful place. Wonderful, beautiful place. What if it wasn't? What if it wasn't? What if this isn't heaven, this is Iowa? What if it was Iowa in winter? What if that was it? What if it was hot all the time? What if you had some pains? What if you had some tears? You still interested? You still interested? Still interested in going to heaven? Now, what's the alternative? A very, very bad hot place. Hell is very, very bad. So a fatalistic approach to God's trust is we really don't have any options. We don't have any options. Fifth question I want you to ask, because I think it impacts how we feel about saying, I'm going to heaven. The fifth thing is, trust a feeling or a decision? Is trust a feeling or a decision? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And it don't have to happen at the same time. It can be a decision with the feeling following, but it's still a decision and a feeling. And again, sometimes it's overwhelming in my trust in God, and sometimes the feeling is not so overwhelming. But I still decide. I still decide to trust in God. So, I've got a friend who works at the gas station. Not that there's anything wrong with working at the gas station, Gavin, if you ever listen to this. I've got a friend that works at the gas station. You've never met him. I don't think you've ever met him. In fact, I know you haven't met him because I made him up. You've never met him. But what I'm going to suggest that you do is you turn over all your retirement money to him, because he enjoys investing. Okay? He enjoys investing. And I know he would really appreciate it, and I would suggest you just turn it all over to him. You ready to line up? You know absolutely nothing about this guy except he works at a gas station, which doesn't exactly increase your confidence in his ability to invest, but he could be a champion investor and work at the gas station. But you know nothing. You have no experience with this person. None. You don't even know who it is. But sometimes I can piggyback on to someone else's trust. Now, if I'm in the office and someone comes in, well, usually this is after several visits, and they need heart surgery. You know, the stuff where they put you to sleep, they stop your heart, they split your chest, they breathe for you, they beat the blood around for you, they cut on your heart, they put little veins out of your legs into your heart backwards, then they hopefully sew you back up, clamp you back together, hit you with the shocks, hope your heart starts, and that you're okay. That's the one we're talking about. And you come in and we're talking about that, and you say, well, what do you think I should do? Been a long time since I scrubbed a heart surgery. Never did a heart surgery, but I scrubbed several. I've seen some, okay? And and the patient says, what do you think? I said, this guy's good. I've seen him do surgery. I've seen him do surgery. I've had patients that had him before, and they did well. And I just recommend that you go with this guy. I don't think we need to search any farther. And what's the patient doing? They're piggybacking trust. Okay? They're piggybacking trust. They don't know this heart surgeon from the man on the moon. But because I might trust him, and they might trust me, then they're willing to trust him. Your trust is transferable. You can transfer it to other people. You know, in Timothy, Paul told Timothy early on, I saw it in your mother. Oh, I'm going to get this backwards. Is it mother Lois and grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, or the other way around? Grandmother Eunice and, I don't know. One of them, I saw it in your grandma and mom, okay? Names aren't important. I saw it in your grandma and mom, and I see it in you. Pass down. Trust. Pass down. Trusting God. Pass down. Can someone trust God because you do? What do you think happens when someone's in dire straits and you say a prayer? They didn't feel like praying. They didn't feel like praying, but they needed a prayer. And you felt like praying. What do you think happens? You piggyback, they piggyback their trust in God on your trust in God. That's what they hear. They piggyback it on, and it works. It works. So trust can be transferred and passed. And trust can be destroyed. Oh, by the way, our trust in God is passed. That's how it's passed. That's how we get it from one person to the other. Very few of us go out in the desert and find the books and read them and say, oh, I believe in Jesus because of what I read in these books I found in the desert. And so I'm going to become a Christian. Is that the way it happened to most of you? Most of you heard it from somebody else. They passed their trust on. They passed it on to you. And the more you had experience with it, the more you trusted it. And you pass it on to somebody else. That's the way it works. Unfortunately, among us, trust can be destroyed. It can be destroyed. How do you destroy trust? By doing something that at least appears to negate the confidence they had in what you were being asked to do. It doesn't even have to be real. It can appear to. But the trust is gone. Now, when that happens, and I'm sure all of you have had that, all the way up from elementary school on up. You know, the what's the letters? Best friend. Is it BFF? Best friend forever. Okay, got it. Gals tend to do that a lot more than the guys in elementary. But they have a BFF. They have a best friend forever, and they're best friends forever until one of them's not their best friend. That destroys them. Now what I do? I don't have a best friend forever. What do I do now? Until they find somebody else that can be their BFF, their best friend forever. It doesn't just happen in elementary school. It happens everywhere. You go to work. You go with people. You go with family. You're going to find times that trust, if not broken, is at least bent. At least bent. And how do we fix that? From either side, the person breaking the trust or the people having the trust broken, you fix it with experience. More good experience. More and more good experience. Don't give up on people. Don't ever give up on people. More and more and more good experience. But the thing about God is he's never broken a trust. Not once. Anybody here can say that? I have never broken a trust. I've never broken someone's confidence. I've never kept a promise, implied or otherwise. Anybody here that can say that? No. And if you hold up your hand, I'm going to come back and put it down for you. We can't say that. But can you imagine God has never, ever come close to breaking an implied or given trust or promise. Never, ever. And he never will. He can't. And be God. It's out of his character. He can't do it. God cannot lie. Has God ever kept a promise, made a promise and not kept it? No. And guess what? God has promised me that if I take advantage of his son's sacrifice And I try to live a life for him, and I beg his forgiveness through his son's sacrifice every time I fail, which is frequently, that he will, what? Have a place for me in heaven. Do I trust that? We have a funeral tomorrow we're going to do, which my head's been busy with, but we have a funeral tomorrow we're going to do. And at a funeral, particularly of a Christian, and appropriately so, we say, we believe this person is in heaven, from what we can tell. And I always wonder, the people sitting in their seats, are they wondering, if I died today, would I be in heaven? And then our head goes to the things we didn't do right. The things we failed at. Times we didn't act like we should have. And we get a little insecure. Don't do that. Don't do that. If Bobby Duckstein is in heaven, it's because of Jesus, not because of Bobby Duckstein. If Bob Guthrie is in heaven, it's because of Jesus, not because of Bob Guthrie. And if you and I are in heaven, which we will be, unless you change your mind about going, it'll be because of Jesus, not because of Greg Engel, Destry, Allen, Justin, not because of that. Not because of that. So don't let that frailty of yourself, that weakness you see in yourself, that fault that you see in yourself, destroy your trust. God set up a system that we can have those and still trust 100% and still say, I'm going to heaven. I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, or I got to calculate real fast, 29 years from now when I'm dad's age, or Walter's age. Happy birthday, Walter. I don't know when it's going to be, but I can say, and I can believe, and I can act like I believe, I'm going to heaven. I think one of the biggest concerns that we have is a reluctance to express the joy that Jesus has allowed us to have. To express the relief of loss of guilt and express the joy of I'm going to heaven. Somehow we feel like it's egotistical to say it, it's arrogant to say it, it's... No, it's not. The reason I'm going to heaven is because of Jesus, not because of me. So sometimes we don't trust God as much, and we don't trust ourselves. And guess what? That's probably good because you and I aren't trustworthy. As far as sin is concerned, you and I are not trustworthy. Paul himself said, I don't trust myself. I find myself doing things I don't want to do and not doing things I want to do. And I'm just be glad to get out of this mess and get to heaven. That's what he said. Didn't say I'm not going to go to heaven because of that, did he? He said, I'm going to heaven because when I am weak, then I'm strong. Then I understand that Jesus is the one that gets me to heaven, not me. Not me. And I trust. Trust in a God that is trustworthy, that is willing and able to do everything we need for us to be in heaven. And when I doubt that, I doubt God. So the next time someone asks you, are you going to heaven? Before you reply with some reluctance, I hope so, I have the opportunity so, maybe you should think about expressing it as an expression of your trust in God. I'm going because God said so, and he never lies. Trust is a wonderful thing when we have it with one another. Nothing better when we have it with one another, but it will always, at some point or another, fail with one another in some degree or other. God and the trust that we have in him will never, ever fail. It's going to be there now and the day we die. And after the day we die, when we're with him, because that's where we're going to be, right? So, I'm going to heaven. Are you? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Just keep telling yourself that, okay? Not because you're so hot, but because Jesus is good. We'll offer the invitation as we stand and sing the closing song.